Good day, listeners, and welcome to the Sam and Joe podcast here on soundfearmag.com. Boy, are you in for a treat today. We have a veritable feast of audio goodness. We're going to be reviewing records from bands of a multitude of genres, and also we've got a special bonus. Joe has an exclusive interview from...
Tommy Rogers of Between the Buried and Me. He's a singer, and he's called a multi-instrumentalist. But, yeah, because... Tommy's just released his solo album under the name Thomas Giles, but more on that later.
You lucky people.
Yes, very lucky.
But, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're going to kick off the show with the indie folk stylings of Sufjan Stevens.
Yeah, we're going to take a bit of a trip back in time. Only 6 years. You'd be a bit disappointed if you built a time machine and you only go back.
6 years. Yeah. A waste of time, just...
I wouldn't bother, but
no.
But yeah, going back to 2005, with Sufjan's release called Illinois, or it's written on the front cover, Illinois, but you know, you can call it whatever you want. Illinois is the state of America, but yeah, Sufjan's he's released about four more albums after this one, but. We felt that this was his best and, you know, his most representative work. So, yeah, we're going to go with this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from Detroit, Michigan. Like you said, indie folk would be a good description. But his latest release, I won't go too much into that. It's very electronic now, but...
The Age of Ads, that...
Yeah, it's he's a lot different.
Departure from...
Yeah,
usual stuff.
This is Sufjan at his best, I feel.
Mm.
But, and many, consider this album to be his best work. Yeah, so you've had a listen, Sam?
Indeed, I have.
What yelled it out at you?
Well, I'd say the most standout feature of the album is its theatricalness. It's almost like a story, as if he's a narrator. Like, you know, it is a concept album about Illinois. And or Illinois, as some people may now call it. But yeah, it's a huge piece of work. I mean, we've got choirs, woodwinds, brass.
Big string section.
And he's great lyricist. It's, you know, intelligent and funny at times, and it's got to be his most standout piece of work to date.
Yeah, the lyrics have been talked about a lot. You know, there are just most of the songs are just. Pieces of history concerning Illinois.
Except the zombie song.
I think that's something about ghosts, something. There's supposed to be some parts that are really haunted or something.
Interesting.
Yeah, something about that. And something on the serial killer. John.
It was supposed to be, he said originally it was supposed to be the second release of a 50 album concept project of each state in America, but
he did the album Michigan before this,
and
now he's down in Illinois, and a lot of people thought he was dead the series, but he revealed a bit later that it was just a joke. Like,
take him to about 70 something to finish his dreams,
maybe, after this album he released an album called The Avalanche in 2006, which is kind of B-sides and a few remixes.
B-sides to a 24-song album.
It's pretty epic.
He's one creative musician.
I think he thought... Well, he was originally going to be a double album.
Oh, okay.
But I think that was a bit too much for most people. It's probably the most epic album he's done in the sense of the choirs and the strings and a host of, like, backing musicians.
Mm.
But
the weird thing I found about the choir sound really youthful, and it's not like a, you know, a soulful one of those church choirs. It's like sounds like a
sounds nice and fresh.
Yeah,
definitely.
It goes with music so well. It's not like a case of, well, as we mentioned on the other show, Hilltop Hoods, where they just got a choir to dub over their music. It's written with this in mind. You can tell and
integrated well.
There's some good stuff going on. Is there any downside you thought about this record?
Maybe the sheer amount of songs. Was it 22 songs, and
22, yeah.
Six songs are about, you know, well under a minute, and it's kind of interludes, but
yeah,
I mean, I guess it's bang for your buck. You don't have to listen to them all, but
I'd say there are points where the melodies kind of overlap as well. I mean, it kind of does follow the indie rule book a bit too closely sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there are times when you haven't even heard a song and you can tell what's going to happen next, but that's just charm in a way. It's not out there. It's not progressive vegetarian black metal.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of those have to be in the mood albums. It is.
Yeah, nice sunny day, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Walking through a park.
Some squirrels with, hanging out with you.
With you?
Yeah, just around your feet and stuff.
So, right, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, play some Game Boy with them.
Yeah, why not? I think they're pretty
some
good
Nintendo.
At that. You never know. But,
you never do.
You can't bring Nintendo with you in the forest, can you?
Oh, no, yeah, sorry.
That's stupid.
There
we go.
Stupid on me.
But, yeah, we're going to go with the song Chicago.
Or Chicagoese.
Yeah. Who knows? But, yeah, definitely we consider the best song from the album. So, hopefully you'll dig it. This is Sufjan Stevens on SoundsfairMag.com.
Go, drove to Chicago. All things know, we sold our clothes to the state. I don't mind, I don't mind. I made a lot of mistakes in my mind, in my mind. You came to take us. All things go. Slept in parking lots. I don't mind, I don't mind. I was in love with the place. In my mind, in my mind. I made a lot of mistakes. In my mind, in my mind. You came to take us. All things go. For freedom from myself and from the land. I made a lot of mistakes. 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 You came to take us. All things go. All things go.
That was Sufjan Stevens with the epic song Chicago. This next band we're going to review for you is a Scouse bunch called Owls with a little hyphen, is it?
Asterisk, I think.
Asterisk, oh, yeah. Of course. What? My, oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, a bad call.
I think there's a band, American band, called The Owls, but
yeah.
I don't know what they do with the asterisks. It's very confusing.
Yeah. Well, currently unsigned, quite a good band.
Yeah, very good.
I'm digging what they're doing. There's all different elements of music involved.
Yeah, I went with Old West Rock.
Old West Rock.
You can imagine the saloon.
Yeah.
And the,
back in the Wild West.
Yeah, this is what they were playing.
Will Smith, just the bar, like, was up.
Definitely.
The true Wild West. Yeah, I mean, just to this song particularly, obviously, I've only heard this song particular. I got all different stuff. I mean, I got some folk, some country, and even a bit of mariachi in the rhythm section.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it makes a refreshing change of pace in this musical climate with all Indian metal kind of everywhere. This is a nice chill back. Will
yeah,
Smith
definitely.
Sound.
I went with Chris Isaak meets Doves.
Doves, yeah, yeah.
Getting
some Doves from there.
Definitely, yeah, it's very chill out, you know.
What could you drink to this music?
Ooh. What were they drinking back then?
Black Russian.
Black Russian. Maybe just, what do they drink in the Old West?
Just whiskey.
Whiskey,
rum,
yeah.
Maybe some rum. Pina colada.
Go with whiskey, I think. It's pretty American.
Okay. You're not thinking Blue WKD? You know, with your guns out, just like...
Yeah, I should hope not, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know, but...
It's very vintage quality, don't know. There's a lot of reverb on the voice and a walking bass line. It's kind of... It's reminiscent of those, like, 70s, 80s bands.
Yeah, the lead vocalist, Tom Roberts, he's definitely got that very, what's it, baritone, deep voice, but definitely suits the music very well. But, they have got... a MySpace and a Facebook, but there's no music on it.
So I'm not sure I see one picture of them.
Yeah. I'm not really sure if there's that, but They're a bit of a hard band to track down, actually.
They do play a lot of gigs around Liverpool, though, so if you are in the area, I'm sure you might
yeah.
be able to find something with them involved.
They've got a website, it's owls.bandcamp.com, with you can hear a few songs on there. And if you download Sound of the Call and join the mailing list, you know, another song will be sent to you.
And you get a free WKD. Don't hold them to
free,
that, though.
Free hat as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the band should be heading to the studio next month, so...
Looking forward to that?
Yeah, sometime in February. Yeah. So hopefully get an EP or an album out of them. And if you're in the Liverpool area, they've got a gig on the 5th of February at the Casimir in Liverpool.
Might have to check that out.
Yeah, go to the website for that.
Be good.
And hopefully more gigs after that. But yeah, we're going to play the song called Sound of the Call.
In the accent, no.
Yeah. Sound of the Call. Yeah.
Call.
Get your whiskey and hat ready. Yeah. You might need it. Yeah. Elvis on soundsfamag.com.
Of the core. For many years I have known, through the streets with time, I have no alibi except the sound. I've seen them flow through the streets. I've watched them fall. We're never left to you. You never pull us through. Left with the sound. We'll be right back.
was the Owls track, Sound of the Core, as some people may call it. Here, it's time for the big interview of the podcast now. I hope you guys are ready.
Interview of the year.
Maybe. Interview of the year, maybe decade. It's up there with the Watergate scandal. That's like, it's going to be remembered on par with that.
For reals.
Oof, I'm excited.
This is
I'm excited to hear it now, even though I probably won't hear it till a couple of days.
God knows when, but we've got a. I had a chat to Tommy Rogers, the singer from Between the Buried and Me, and just released his solo album under the name Thomas Giles.
Any reason why?
Giles is his middle name.
Okay.
I guess Thomas is his middle
change
name.
Change of pace.
Yeah. You'll find out about that in the interview. Hold your horses there.
Oh, I am. Oh, I cannot be more psyched for this.
Fair enough. But it's good. So, we'll play it for you now. This is Tommy Rogers. First off, how's your day been? What have you been doing so far?
Today's a lazy day. I'm at home in North Carolina in the U.S. and I just had lunch with my mom, and now I'm driving back home to do some things for the new record, actually, and then that's about it.
Fair enough, then.
Have a very chill day, which is nice.
That's the way, then.
It's actually not that cold anymore. We got a lot of snow last week, so it's nice to finally...
Yeah, nice to be able to walk around.
Yeah.
All right, your latest release, Pulse, it's under the pseudonym, Thomas Giles. I suppose that's your full name, you could say. So why not Tommy Rogers?
I just wanted to, I thought it felt right. You know, I feel like it sort of has a better ring to it than Tommy Rogers.
Fair enough, then.
It sounds more sophisticated.
Okay. No worries, then. And, with your main band, Between the Buried and Me, throughout the career, there's been, you know, a few shorter and, you know, softer songs, you could say. Most recently, on Great Misdirect, you had Mirrors and Desert of Song. And did writing those songs, you know, give you the confidence to do a whole album in that kind of mellow style?
Yeah, I think over the years, you know, just with experimenting with Between the Buried and Me, I kind of realized how much I enjoyed kind of doing the mellow stuff as well as the heavy stuff. And, you know, a lot of these songs on Pulse I've been writing for, I don't know, I guess like 2 or 3 years now. You know, I've just never really had the time to sit down and actually get them finished and record. And I had a nice little window last year, and I just took advantage of it and went in and got it done. And I don't know, it was very different for me, but it was very rewarding at the same time. You know, I've really pushed myself to kind of branch out and try something new, because it's always scary doing that. But I'm glad I did it, and it was really a good experience.
Do you think fans?
Yeah, I mean, I think writing with Between the Buried and Me definitely has, you know, given me confidence over the years to try new things and just kind of experiment and, you know, push myself, you know, as far as writing and as far as singing goes as well. So.
Okay. And do you think, you know, fans of Between the Buried will enjoy it, or is the whole point to kind of expand and find new people?
I think a lot of our fans would enjoy it. You know, it's not too far. I mean, if you like the mellow stuff of Between the Buried and Me, I think it definitely shows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you can tell I'm in the band, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously going to be people that, you know, want the metal, the aggression, which I totally understand. And I do hope to gain some new fans. Hopefully, maybe, you know, some people will hear this that don't listen to heavy music, and maybe they'll check out Between the Buried and Me because of it. You know, because, you know, we like the idea of a very diverse fan base, and I think the key to getting that is, you know, trying new things and just having all types of people kind of get introduced to your music, if it's heavy or not heavy, you know.
Now, Pulse can be a kind of a hard album to pin down at first. You know, flits between kind of post-rock, ambient, folk, some really electro songs like Catch and Release and Reject Falcon, and even the song Medic
brings in, you know, the death vocals and, you know, the heavy guitars. Was the idea always to make it very, you know, eclectic, or was that just an organic thing?
It was definitely organic. I mean, I think that's just kind of how my brain works. I kind of wanted to make the record this kind of weird journey, sort of. Kind of the same way we look at Between the Bear and Me music, you know. We want to always keep people on their toes, and, you know, I don't like, when I listen to music, I don't like to know what's always going to happen, and I think, you know, I took that approach, you know, with Pulse as well, and I think, you know, I tried to make it feel like it was a record, but I still wanted it to be kind of like all the different, you know, moods and, you know, ideas I have, because, I mean, I think that's how I think, you know. There's very mellow moments in my life, and there's very, you know, I get in moods where I just want to have fun and be silly, or there's like aggressive moments, you know, so it's kind of just like all these different aspects of, you know, where I am musically, and I love trying to play it all, you know. It's fun for me to do that.
Keeps people on their toes, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Pulse has a worldwide release on February 1st. Are you hoping to tour anywhere on the release?
I've actually just started kind of trying to figure that out. I'm no sense of touring. I'm trying to get a band together probably in the next few months. I'm going to definitely do a few shows here in the States. I'm just going to start small and go from there. Obviously, I don't have a lot of time, just because Between the Bear and Me is very busy, and we're just now finishing. We just got done recording an EP as well, and we're just kind of getting ready for that. So I want to start slow, kind of see how the reaction is, see how I enjoy playing it live, and kind of go from there. But I look forward to, I'm trying to get some guys with in a few years, so it'll be cool to.
Okay. Do you think the Between the Buried and Me?
Different people.
Do you think the Between the Buried and Me guys, you know, would accept playing a few of your songs in the set list as well?
I wouldn't want that personally. I mean, it's two separate things. You know, I don't want to use Between the Buried and Me as a promoting tool on the road. Mm. You know, for Thomas Giles or vice versa. You know, I don't know. As far as touring, I'm not really sure yet, but I'm definitely going to do shows here and there. But as far as, you know, actual full tours, I don't see that happening for a little bit.
Okay. Just talking about, you know, reactions, you know, to albums. Are you someone, you know, that keeps tabs on reviews, and, you know, you're interested in what fans have to say, or? Yeah.
You know, I've been doing this for, I guess, Between the Bear and Me's been a band 10 years, and we've always been the kind of band that has, you know, obviously we try new things, so you get a lot of, you know, people that get it or don't get it, and, you know, we accept that, and I think with Pulse the same way. But the reviews have been great. I mean, I'm really surprised with how well people are, you know, digging it, because, you know, it's not heavy, and I was worried that, you know, the majority of the people were gonna, you know, dislike how mellow it is. But I mean, I've gotten great feedback so far, and people seem to be excited that it's coming out, so that makes me stoked.
Okay. Do you think, you know, hearing, you know, the odd negative comment, you know, does keep you in check, you know, rather than hearing, oh, you know, you're amazing, like, all the time?
Oh, definitely. You know, it always keeps you on your toes and makes you want to, like, prove people wrong, you know, I think. And I mean, that's just part of being in a band, and I think, I mean, there's nobody under the sun that always gets 100% positive feedback, and you know, it's something that comes with the territory, and we obviously understand that. But I mean, like you said, it helps us really push ourselves and try to, like, change those negative reviews to be good, you know. And, like, but at the same time, you don't want to stray away from what naturally feels right for you, you know. I think when it's all said and done, you want to be really happy with what you're doing and what you're recording and writing, and you always have to look at that, you know, before you start worrying about what people are going to think.
Mm.
And I think a lot of bands, that kind of hurts, because they try to please a little too much. And I don't know, if you try to do a certain style just to please, you know, publishers or people that are going to review the record, then you might be alienating yourself
Do you ever go back and listen to previous albums and think, okay, for the new one we could use more of this, you know, less of that, for instance?
No, not really. I mean, normally when we write anything, we just start from scratch. I think when you start comparing your older material to newer material, it's kind of pointless because, I mean, you're just kind of beating a dead horse and I think everything should be start from scratch and be new and feel right and organic and not forced. And, you know, when you start writing, you know if it feels right or not. And normally, you know, if you get, like, writer's block or something, you know, you need to step back and kind of you can't force writing. And I think a lot of people really try to do that. And, you know, you can take off a few weeks if you can't write, you know, and that's natural. Not everybody can always be on the spot. And, you know, that's how we've always done it, you know.
And quite often artists will say, you know, they're inspired by the bands, you know, they heard growing up. But, like, do you hear new and, you know, modern bands and think, I'd like to try something like that?
I hear bands all the time, you know. I keep up with music constantly. And, you know, I love music. I love listening to music. And I'm constantly on, like, seeking out new music and new bands. And it's hard. It's hard to find things that, you know, our breath of fresh air, and it's hard to get inspired, but, you know, it's out there, it's totally out there, there's a lot of amazing bands, and, you know, I still get influenced by, you know, modern bands as well as, you know, old bands, but, I mean, I think just music in general, I think just listening to music just constantly keeps my brain, you know, interested in creating music. You know, I'm constantly, like, wanting to try new things, or, you know, just write songs in general. So I think that's always helped.
Has there been any, any band in particular you've been listening to a lot lately and that's kind of rubbed off on you?
That's tough.
Or any kind of genre?
I listen to a lot of stuff. I've been listening to this band Pendulum a lot, which they don't really have any influence on me, but I love them.
Yeah, fair enough.
They're a great band. They're like a kind of an electro band, but I can't really.
Yeah, what one band that's been
huge influence.
Fair enough.
I love like Radiohead, Mars Volta, and you know those bands are always the kind of bands that I always come back to.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge fan of both of those bands. You know, I love Muse. I love a lot of older music, but I mean, as far as new bands, I'm really bad at thinking on the spot.
Oh, that's okay. you mentioned a few there, but now, similar sounds in music are quite unavoidable these days. You know, so many bands out there.
You know,
oh,
exactly.
With what do you think of artists, you know, suing other artists? Think, you know, it's wise. You know, is it okay to do that? Like, I think Joe Satriani has sued Coldplay over the song "Viva La Vida." But
that really aggravated me, to be honest with you.
Right.
I remember reading about that, and I don't know. I mean, it's 2011. Everything's pretty much been done by now.
Yeah.
Unless you're just doing the most off-the-wall shit imaginable. And I think something like that's just stretching for media attention. I mean, even when, you know, because I looked online and you can compare the two songs. I mean, it's similar melodies, but it's not a complete ripoff. I mean, when you have Ice Baby and Queen, yeah, that's a little different because it's pretty much, I mean, it's the exact same thing, but, I mean, you can't sue a band because you have something similar. I think that's just, it's pathetic, you know.
Have you ever, you know, written a song title or a riff or something that's, and then you found out, you know, someone else has the exact same thing and you've had to change it? Or?
I mean, we've definitely had riffs that you're like, oh, that sounds too much like so-and-so, you know, and I mean, it's like and with lyrics and song titles, I mean, if you think about all the songs that have been written, it's just like, I mean, even with Pulse, it's like, I know Pink Floyd has a live album called Pulse, but I was like, should I change it because of that? And I was like, well, Pulse really, it fits the record. It's, you know, that's what the record's all about is, you know, finding yourself. And, you know, it's really what I want. I just felt it felt right for the record. And, you know, it's just one of those things. Things have been done before, and there's a lot of music and lyrics already out there, but I think the key is just pushing yourself and trying to still, you know, still be creative and do new ripping people off, and you know, it's a hard thing to figure out how to do.
Mm. Now, going back to your, you made a somewhat electro album called Guiles in 2004. You made some rather wacky and fun videos for that. Will you make anything like that for Pulse?
As far as videos?
As far as, you know, something a bit crazy.
I don't know. Pulse is definitely a more serious side.
Okay.
For sure. I don't know. Giles is a weird thing for me. It's one of those things I listen to and it doesn't feel like it was me at all. Huh. I don't really understand where I was at that moment. And what
on drugs or something?
It's a bizarre record, and I don't know. And I think that was like a big goal for me with Thomas Shaw's record. Is that I feel like Giles didn't represent who I am at all, and I feel like Thomas Shaw totally 100% represents who I am as far as a musician and as a person, you know. And,
okay.
And I just wanted to really create a record that does that. And I don't know, Giles was crazy. I don't know what the hell I was thinking.
So, has there been a video made for Pulse? Like,
no, I personally made a kind of studio video for the song Sleep Shake. It's got a lot of studio footage and just close-up shots of me playing. And,
okay.
Yeah, that's actually going to come out hopefully later this week. I mean, it's not like a professionally shot video or anything. It's just something I put together. But we haven't really talked about it as like a real budget video or anything. I'm not sure. Plans.
Fair enough then.
For that or anything.
Now finally, if you were to be stuck on a desert island with only one person, who do you think it would be? The most annoying person you could think of?
The most annoying person?
Yeah, who's the last person in the world you'd want to be stuck on an island with?
Ooh. Let's see here.
Who do you hate the most?
That's a strong word.
Irritate me.
I don't know, man.
Anyone you see in the media and you're just like, oh god, I'd hate to be stopping with them.
I mean, as cliche as it is to say, I mean, George Bush would be pretty shitty to be stuck.
Yeah, that's fine. should we lock in?
Just bothers the shit out of me. I don't know.
We can say George Bush if that's what you're going for.
Yeah, that's a
I'd be annoyed by him too.
A religious figure, maybe.
just any random priest or something.
Yeah, just a random priest.
Fair enough. No worries then. And now we'll get you you can choose a song from Pulse. We'll play that on the podcast. Any song in particular? Your favorite at the moment?
I really like the song Sleep Shake, the first song on the record.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I think that kind of represents the record pretty well. It's upbeat, not too much of a downer.
Fair enough. Then we'll go with that then.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. Yeah, that's great. Thanks for your time, Tommy. Good luck with the album release and any future touring you do.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
No worries then. And you won't be heading over to the UK anytime soon with Between the Buried?
Yes, we're planning that out right now. We're definitely going to be over this year for sure.
Okay.
So
that'd be good news then.
Awesome, man. Well, have a good one.
All right, you too, mate. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Bye.
Right, bye-bye.
A normal day, I jumped and explored the yard. My senses seemed tense, like a bomb between two friends. They've never really been my friends, just a common sense of self. But today I feel so.
The song Sleep Shake from the album Pulse by Tommy Giles. Wow, what an interview.
Thomas
job.
Giles.
Thomas, I'm sorry. Excuse you. I'm on first name terms. Like, you and him, are we going to go down the saloons together now? And,
I'll be sending him a birthday card. And
yeah, maybe won't get one back. But that's how he rolls. You can't pin Thomas Giles down.
No, he's a hard man to track.
He is indeed. This next thing we are going to be reviewing for you is the 2010 effort by Cheerios, the album Illumin Audio. These guys formed in Michigan in 2001, originally called the Cheerios Bros. Don't know if you knew that.
I was aware of that. I read the Wikipedia page too.
Yeah. It was this album to follow up to the critically acclaimed 2007 Bone Palace Ballet, which did really well in the charts.
Mm.
to number one on the independent charts. I think number four on the US.
Yeah, really well.
Yeah, there are definitely a number of notable differences between these two releases. Primarily, the vocalist and fan favorite Craig Owens has been replaced with Yesterday Rising singer Brandon Bulmer. This is mainly due, apparently, to inner band bickering.
Yeah,
I know that was the official statement, bickering. But
I think Owens is off the rail a little bit.
Yeah, because didn't he kick out one of the members before?
Yeah, kicked out the drummer,
and then everyone asked, "Whoops!"
Yeah, <this guy's laughs> got a new drummer as well. But
yeah,
Craig Owens had a suicide attempt. I think OD'd on some pills. But I think if you're still at Owens Fanatic, you can catch him on multiple, albums now. He's did a release called Owls and Glaciers with Johnny Craig, and he's had a solo album. He's now with a band called Drugs.
Wow.
Awful name.
Pretty ironic.
Yeah, it stands for Destroy, Rebuild, Under God's...
Salad.
Yeah, salad. Yep. Sunroof, I don't know. Sunroof. Something like that. But yeah, they're okay, but...
It's... Listening to this new album, though, who'd want to go to that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
This new Cheerios album is...
Brandon Bulmer, the pretty. New vocalist, yeah. 10 times better than...
I liked it. The other guy's voice was, Craig Owens' voice was pretty distinctive. I liked it, but this guy's definitely more of a musician, more of a, you can hit better notes, can sustain melodies a lot better. Craig Owens was more of a kind of amateur.
Yeah, it's okay.
And a nice innocence about his voice, but.
Definitely, yeah. In short doses, I think, an old album of him could get a bit annoying because he has a bit of a whiny voice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm a big fan of this Bulmer character.
Mm. It's been stated that they've, on previous albums, though, they've been trying to define the sound, but they've never quite reached the limit. But if this is the case, it's definitely because Craig Grohl and the rest of the band before took a front seat, and now this new guy, they've come together more as a band than the Craig Owens project.
Mm.
Reformed, refined the sound. It's really
it's
great.
I think it's Cheerios as they were meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first two albums, was it the 2005, All's Well That Ends Well and Bone Palace Ballet, were fairly close. Almost rock-like, I thought, kind of like Muse in some areas. But I think, Illumin Audio's. It is heavy. Yeah. It is.
It's got a bit of everything, though. It's not just. I mean, it's still got pop elements, rock elements in the vocals, but damn,
definitely a lot more down tuned and a lot more breakdowns.
This is the type of music you definitely not drink WKD to.
No,
I'm talking Stella, talking
hard stuff. Yeah,
I'm talking blood.
Blood through a
straw.
Through a man's skull. Yeah.
Through a man's skull, the cup, you got the skull, and then.
Yeah. Complicated.
Yeah,
it's worth it.
It's worth just listening to this album.
Yeah, definitely. Like, in some ways, they use a lot of breakdowns, which can kind of get a bit repetitive. You think, oh, I've kind of heard this breakdown before. But, the songs are fantastic. And,
I think it's not the most. It's not going to win any awards. It's not going to be. Pick number one of albums of the year. It's not going to win any critically acclaimed artistic things, but it's just a fun, sustainable album, and there's somewhat complex songs, but it's one of those albums you listen to the first time and you're into it. It's not like Mars Volta or something, just going to take 10 listens down the line, you're like, oh, now I get this album. It's like, straight away.
Yeah, I found now, even like, there's little things I pick up, like, you hit three bits here and there, you think, oh, that's awesome.
Especially there's so many layers, like they've got the orchestra on the go, and the song we're playing, Modern Warfare, which is a play on.
Modern Warfare, Call of Duty. Yeah.
I'm not going to. That's Joey's findings.
Yeah, it's a rumour going around.
But they use it really well on this as well, and it goes so well with the vocals. Because I found on Bone Palace Ballet, particularly, they kind of had too much reliance on the orchestra element, which is D minor every song, is a
lot of piano and stuff on as well.
Yeah, you just knew what they were going to do, whereas this is an extra layer to the songs.
Yeah, it definitely keeps you guessing, but Yeah, certainly one of my favourites of 2010. I'm going to put it out there. You know. Hopefully, yeah, they'll get, you know, keep going with this direction. And
yeah, fingers crossed.
Future albums. But yeah, we're going to go with the song Modern Wolf Hair.
Not to confuse with the Call of Duty game.
Yeah, yeah.
Call of Duty Yesterday Wolf.
Yeah, from the album Illumin Audio. So cheer us on soundsfairmag.com.
Modern Wolf Hair. It's a tongue twister now, you said Modern Wolf Hair. It's hard to say. Modern Wolf Hair by Chiados from Illumin Audio.
Yeah, definitely maybe second of 2010.
I'm guessing after Bring Me for you.
Yeah, of course. That was amazing. Amazing.
It's okay.
Amazing. But yeah, that's it, folks. So
it's been a fun time yet again, of course.
I hope you've enjoyed our quotes, and
we're gonna get off and go and gamble and drink and Oof, what else are we doing tonight, Joe?
We're going to that Old West bar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll probably just end up watching Rude the football, yeah. But...
We'll see, we'll see.
Let's pretend we've got that for the moment.
For reals, man. But, yeah, that's it. And, yeah, until next time.
Take care.
Yeah. Keep it real. And catch you later, guys.